This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Welcome to this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. Okay, have you ever met someone and the second you engage, you just adore them? You want to hang out with them. You want to be their roommate. Well, that's exactly how I felt when I met Ross Matthews. And I am not alone in my feelings, as this guy has legions of fans. Ross Matthews is an Emmy-winning TV host, producer, and author, who we all fell in love with over, would you believe, a quarter of a century ago in 2001, when he burst onto the scene, literally, as Ross the Intern for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. From there, he was on a meteoric rise. And today, Matthews can be seen as co-host and producer on the hit daily syndicated talk show, The Drew Barrymore Show. Additionally, Matthews serves as a judge and producer on MTV's award-winning series, I just love it, RuPaul's Drag Race, and Paramount's All Stars. Now, as an author, he's had one hit after another, from Name Drop, the follow-up to his national bestseller, Man Up, Tales of My Delusional Self-Confidence, to his 2025 children's book called Teo and Teo, The Ring Bearers, co-written with his educator husband, Dr. Wellington Garcia Matthews, with a sequel book to follow. And if that's not enough, you can also see Matthews as the new host of 90 Day The Single Life Tell All on TLC. That's going to be a two-part special kicking off May 18th. And tomorrow, May 8th, it's a brand new season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. Now, did I mention that Ross Matthews is quite the entrepreneur? Of course he is. Matthews has designed his Drag Race wardrobe and created a hot clothing line, especially when it comes to caftans, called Ross X Ross. Additionally, Matthews has hosted the GLAAD Media Awards 6 times, and in 2018, he was the recipient of a very special award from that beloved organization. He's been on every red carpet as a guest and an interviewer and has covered every event from the Olympics to the Oscars. And when he's not working, and Lord knows when that is, he's enjoying his fabulous life with his husband, Dr. Wellington Garcia Matthews, and his beloved, gorgeous little chihuahua named Audrey. I wonder if he named her after Audrey Hepburn. I'll have to ask him that. So when we come back, the one, the only, Ross Matthews. You will not want to miss this interview. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. You know, I have been so blessed the 6 years that I've been doing this show to have some incredible guests. I mean, A-list stars, newsmakers, truly amazing people. But I cannot remember the last time I've been this excited, because I have a guest on today that I can say I truly adore. Ross Matthews, I love you.
Well, thank you so much. And it's so crazy because it's so mutual. I have loved you since the first time I ever saw you on TV. And I always just like, you're so good at what you do. And then I got to meet you at that event. And the fact that you're excited that I'm here is crazy, because I'm excited to be here. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'll never forget it. I was on the Today Show as the entertainment correspondent. It was 2001. And all of a sudden, Jay Leno introduces this young kid who comes out, Ross the intern.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. I thought, this guy is on his way to superstardom. Oh, I never laughed so hard. I called it my Depends moment.
Thank you for that. And I have to tell you, it just all happened as organic as possible. It wasn't like there was a casting call for someone like me. They weren't looking for anybody. I just showed up and then I wouldn't shut up. And they just put me on TV. I was there to deliver mail and make coffee, you know, and I had bigger plans.
Bigger plans. Then they put you on the red carpet. I said in my intro, you have been on every red carpet from the Oscars to the Olympics. Yeah. I couldn't believe what a skilled and hilarious interviewer
you
are and were back then. I mean, considering you had no experience, all of these major celebrities, they fell in love with you.
I was 20 years old and I had spent those 20 years like yearning to be there and thinking, God, one day I'm going to get, I just knew in my bones I was going to get there. And I knew that the only thing I could ever be and ever be is just who I am. So I just was like fully present in those moments. And I don't know how I had the wherewithal to do that. Like looking back, I think, oh my God, like with life perspective, you know how you look back and you think, I can't, did I do that? But I just didn't know any other way. And I just was like shot out of a cannon. And I really am so grateful for life. It is such a wild ride. And look where it took me. It brought me there. And then, you know, and then gratitude starts hitting you. This is the 25th year I've been on TV and perspective, gratitude comes in. And I'm beyond grateful. And it's not lost on me for a second.
Well, what's not lost on me and all your fans is that you've never changed. You're still Ross the intern at heart. And all of your successes, all of your achievements, you're still the same guy.
I am. You know, go back further. I'm just Ross Matthews from Mount Vernon, Washington. You know, there's pictures of me. I'm talking to you from my home office here. And there's pictures of me from kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade on the wall. And the reason I put them here is because I still, like, I relate more to that kid than any anybody else. I still feel a direct line. Maybe we all do. I don't know. I'm just talking about my own experience. I still feel like that. And I think that that maybe is the key to happiness or the key to whatever we're trying to find in life is just to like take that little kid along the journey through everything. That's what I'm trying to do.
But it is rare because, you know, a lot of people want to think that they're still the same person, but so many change with the success ride.
Well, maybe I've changed a little, but it's more like, I think it's perspective. I think it's like just marinating in life a little bit, you know, you add to it. But I would be so bummed if I changed, if I became jaded. That would bum me out.
Well, when you consider this wild ride a quarter of a century ago, look at all of the things you have done. I can't remember an intro where I was wanting to leave all of the important, pertinent jobs in that you've had. And I just couldn't believe how many you've had. And they've all been spectacular.
Well, thank you. It's weird to think about because I don't know, maybe we all do this. You just kind of beat yourself up sometimes or you're like, oh, have you done enough? Are you doing it? But I guess when you say that, it makes me kind of think about it. And yeah, I mean, I am proud of it. I don't know. I'm in a weird position now because I think I still feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like I haven't done what I want to do yet. But then I also do have to sort of take stock a little bit. And I'm proud. I guess I'm proud. That's okay to say, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was so thrilled when the Drew Barrymore show premiered. And then all of a sudden I'm watching one day and there's my favorite guy. How did that come to be? And you're not only a co-host, but you're also a producer.
I produced that show too, along with such like an amazing team of people. Do you know how many people it takes to put on a daytime show like
Village.
That? I do love producing. I get to produce RuPaul's Drag Race as well. You know, when I was a little kid before, that little kid on the wall, when I would sit with my mom, she had summers off. She worked for the school district and we would watch Regis and Kathy Lee together. And I always wanted to meet celebrities and my mom was so happy watching Regis and Kathy Lee. And so I remember thinking, okay, if I got his job, I could meet celebs and I could make my mom happy. And so that was like, since 7 years old, I said, I'm going to be a daytime talk show host. That's been my North Star. Really, truly. You can ask them, all my aunts and uncles, everybody. And so, again, knowing in my bones, I knew that's where I'd end up one day. And I didn't know how it would happen, but I just knew that. And then I'll tell you how Drew happened. I didn't know Drew at all. I had met her, you know, on a press red carpet where I was like one of five mics in her face.
You know?
And then during COVID, I was, you know, in lockdown. I had met my boyfriend in January 2020. He lived in New York. We are since, of course, married. We're celebrating our fourth wedding anniversary now. But we were
met
dating
over a burrito, correct?
A breakfast burrito in Puerto Vallarta, we'll as you that. Do. We'll get into that. But, you know, we were apart for those 6 months of lockdown from March until, I guess it was September. And I finally was like, okay, I'm gonna come visit you in New York. We were, you know, when you bubble wrapped yourself and put yourself on in the plane and you went. And I was friends with Drew's producing partner. I had met him during COVID. And he said, oh, you're coming to New York. She just launched 2 weeks ago. No audience. It's alone, live. Is there any way you could pop in and do the news with her one day? And I was like, one, I would love to meet her. Like, two, of course, I'd love to see you. So yes, let me. So I had to take 75 COVID tests to get let in. It was back really in the height of it all. And I went in and to get like serious for a second, my mom passed away in 2020 as well.
I know. I'm so sorry.
And I was at the time really broken open, just very raw and processing and lost a little bit. And Drew and I've talked about this since. When I went in that day, she was sort of a little lost too, because she was just starting the show literally alone, talking to the camera, interviewing people on Zoom. It was very difficult to launch a show in general, but launching like that is impossible. And when I came in there and we got to be, we couldn't physically touch because there were rules, but
and you're a hugger.
Yeah, I'm a toucher. And she's, you know, she'll sit on your lap for an interview. It was almost like we needed each other so much. And I think maybe my mom had something to do with that, because when we met, it wasn't like two strangers introducing themselves to each other. It was like two souls finding one another. That's what it felt like. Instant family. And they asked me, could you come back tomorrow? And I said, sure. They said, could you come back Monday? And I was like, well, I gotta go home. But the truth is, I never left. I never went back home until the end of season one, when I went home and packed everything up and moved here. And that just changed my life.
Unbelievable story. And I love how you said that you feel your mother had something to do with this.
I do. My mom and I had a very deep connection. I think little gay boys and their moms have a specific special connection. And so I feel her in me. I feel her around me. I was just looking at a picture where I have like a vein on my little red vein. And I'm like, mom had one right there too. You know, so aww. There, she is part of me. And I truly think she cleared a lot of things, weeds out from my life when she passed away. I got to come here and really develop my relationship with my husband, really meet Drew, really fulfill some lifelong things. And I know that I didn't do it. I think she did it.
That's so beautiful. Now, she didn't get a chance to meet your husband. She knew that you met him, right?
Right before the end, I showed her a picture of him, and she was sort of in and out because the cancer had spread to her brain. But she looked at the picture of Wellington, my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, and she said,
Dr. Wellington Garcia.
I love that you know that. She said, I think I know him. And it, for me, that was like a sign that maybe, and I don't know what people believe in sign, but it was almost like maybe she did. Maybe these, our souls were meant to know and meant to be connected in some way. But she said, I think I know him, you know, and there's no way she could have known him. Maybe she knew his soul.
That is really something. And then look what became of your life, and look who came into your life.
It's wondrous what can happen when you're broken open, you know, and also what you can learn if you pay attention, because that's also when I decided to make a change in my health. I decided that I wanted to do everything in my power to stick around. I decided that like the biggest gift I could give my parents, who I believe died too young, would be to outlive them and stay around as long as possible. So I can't tell you how formative that year 2020 was for me personally. And her death was not about me, but it did affect me and it changed me.
And let's talk about your career, because, you know, we all see you every day on the Drew Barrymore show, but you have had some incredible breaks and you are on literally some groundbreaking shows and projects that have changed the way we look at people in life.
You know, when you think about what I've been lucky enough to hop on board, you know, I think like starting with The Tonight Show, then Chelsea Lately, I did that show for 7 years. RuPaul's Drag Race, I've been on for, oh my gosh, 15 years or something now. The Drew Barrymore Show. These TV shows that now 90 Day Fiancé, I'm hosting
the
tell-all. We'll talk about that. To me, there's like, I keep saying I feel it on my bones. I've said that twice now about things. Sometimes I watch these shows and I just go, oh, I know I'm going to be a part of that. I like even I used to watch Rosie O'Donnell as a kid and I'd go, well, I'm going to know her. Of course I'm going to know her. And mind you, I was 12 in Mount Vernon, Washington, but I just knew it. And now, like, absolutely, we've been friends forever. And I just, it feels a little preordained. Did you know this when you were, that you would be doing what you've done with your life? Did you know you'd be doing this?
Well, I was always thrown out of classes for talking too much. So I had a feeling I might go a little bit in that direction. And when I was 10 years old, we went to go see, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. So I went to go see, my parents took us to see the Supremes, Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Oh my gosh.
And we were in the parking lot. I see Diana Ross. And as a 10-year-old kid, I jumped in the limo with her.
You did not. Of course you did.
Can you imagine? And Diana looked and she thought it was so charming. Now we're talking many, many decades ago, but I always had a lot of moxie. So yeah. I guess I did know too. I was obsessed with celebrities. I rang up a $300 phone bill trying to reach Elizabeth Taylor because I was obsessed with National Velvet when I was a kid.
Did you ever connect?
Yes, I got to do actually really some of her last interviews. I got to sit down with the great Elizabeth Taylor. So I see what you mean. I definitely feel like, you know, it's in us. Things happen. Things put us in those situations.
Totally.
I can totally relate to what you're saying.
I also want people to listen. I just want to say, if you feel that, if people are listening to this or watching this and they feel that in their, you're not crazy, I think. Just pay attention to the universe and there are little opportunities opening up. Don't miss them, right? Jump into Diana Ross's car, metaphorically.
Well, maybe not now.
Not now, but you know what I mean? Metaphorically, come on.
Exactly. But it's incredible what's happened to you, because when I think back that you were 20, I mean, to be on The Tonight Show, come on. Yeah.
And no one gay on TV, by the way. No one openly gay on TV. It was a very different landscape. You know, Ellen had just come out. Will and Grace wasn't on yet or just beginning. It was a very different landscape and it was a simpler time.
But you had the personality and you were so damn funny. And then comes another huge break, RuPaul's Drag Race. You're about to embark upon a new season this week.
Well, yeah, before I was on the show, I would watch this show. And because it was a show that is made for everybody, but one of the first to ever be targeted for an audience like me, where I was like seeing people like me on TV made for our community, from our community. And I remember like loving it and talking back to it. And then they asked me to come on as a judge in season 3, and I did. And the next season I came back and I started in the family. And then season 7, they asked me to stay and join with Carson Kressley. And what I love about this show is it really truly is, it feels like the, if life were a cafeteria, I feel like these are the people who I'd sit at with, you know, I'd sit at the table with these kind of misfits who are well-meaning and creative and funny, but sort of outcasts. And what it feels like is that we've always made the same kind of show, even when it was on Logo back in the day and it was a small little niche thing. But what happened slowly is that, you know, suddenly the head cheerleader came and sat at our table and the quarterback came and sat at our table and everyone was welcome at our table, it turned out. And that's the only way I can explain it, because we just kept being us. And there was a moment I remember when I heard, oh, they talked about Drag Race on SNL last night. And I was so scared. It was about season 10. I was so scared because I thought, oh, no, are they going to make fun of us? You know, because I'm so protective of it. And when I tuned in, the sketch was about a bunch of mechanics in a shop, straight guys in a shop, who secretly all were watching Drag Race. And they were all like started, you know, using the vernacular, and they all eventually realized that they were all super fans of Drag Race. And I thought, oh my God, we're not the punchline. And that was major. That was like, that was the shift. That's how I felt it. And it has since gone on to become this like global worldwide phenomenon. We have franchises in, I mean, what is it, like 20 countries? And we air around the world. So I think about growing up in a little farm town in Washington State. This is the show that I wish existed. So I knew that there was a community outside the windows that I looked out and didn't see a lot of open arms for me. But think about now that not only in America are people watching this show, but in little towns across the world where people feel isolated, where they don't feel loved or celebrated or wanted, they can see that there's a place where they're waiting with open arms for them.
And it's just so groundbreaking and life-saving.
It is in the sense that I think throughout time, a lot of people, a lot of LGBTQ people have been so shoved down. And even if you're not shoved down by people, you're just shoved down by the idea that you aren't wanted or that you aren't okay. And so you spend a lot of time, you waste a lot of time questioning whether you deserve anything before you get to being creative. You kind of have to get through that hurdle of like, do I deserve to exist before, what do I have to say? And what our show has done, these queens now who come on who are 19, 20, 21, they skip the whole do I deserve it phase and go straight to let me be creative. And
wow.
That is powerful because you see these people coming into themselves fully at such a young age. Without fail, every year we see something we've never seen before because these are some of the most creative people in the world. And so it's fun to see how they do drag.
Unbelievable. What a month this is for you because you also have another show, another special coming out.
Oh my God, let me tell you the story. So 90 Day Fiancé is a show that I love. It's on TLC. There are like, yes. 25 iterations? Not really, but there's probably like 8 iterations of this show, different, you know, before the 90 days, after the 90 days, happily ever after the 90 days, the single life. And so I love this universe. I watch them all. I care about them all. I don't have a 90 day group text. I have multiple 90 day group texts where if something happens, we all talk about it. And the network knew that I was a super fan. And we had this sort of conversation about what would it be like if you were to host a tell-all? And I told them exactly how I would host a tell-all. I would host it as an unabashed super fan who really loved this stuff. And, you know, they got it. To their credit, they got it. And they gave me a chance to do it. And it airs May 18th and May 25th. I go there. Nothing's off limits. I do it with love because I do love these people. I'm rooting for their happiness. But like a lot of times you got to call BS when you see BS. You know, we have a lot of things to answer for. And it is also really funny. So I think the super fans will love seeing a super fan in that seat. I hope they do.
And it's so different from RuPaul. I mean, the fact that you're doing these two completely different shows and then Drew Barrymore co-hosting and producing.
Well, I love hearing you say that because when I first started, as grateful as I am to have had my start, you know, Ross the intern, I then did have to like earn a last name and sort of prove that it wasn't a one-time gimmick. You know, I did
right.
Leno for 14 years. I ended up becoming a creative consultant on that show and really producing all my stuff there. So developing that, those skills and whatnot. But with the audience, you kind of have to show them all sides of you. And it is possible to be put in a little teeny little box, you know?
Right.
So something that's been important to me is like, I want every part of me out there. I want to be funny. I want to be heartfelt. I want to be emotional. I talk about my weight loss journey with my Ross.
I remember starting at Ross the Intern. You dropped a huge amount of weight while you were doing that gig.
And then I found it again and lost it again and again. And then I, you know, after mom died, I really decided to get my health under control. And so we talk about recipes on my recipes.com and the Facebook group. That's what I call recipes, recipes. It's trademarked. I'm shameless. But I am so grateful that I get to be well-rounded. And I hope I'm just getting started because I love, like you, I never shut up. I like to talk to people. I'd love to hear them talk. I'd love to climb in to Diana Ross's limo, metaphorically and in real life, actually do that. It's fun that from Drag Race to Drew to 90 Day, I get to do all that. Next, I'd love to do a cooking show. I'd love to do a game show because I know a thing or two about like winning the lottery in life. So I'd love to give away to people, be there for the moment that changes their lives. Those are some of the things I'd like to do.
Well, and the cooking show, Recipe, of course, that will be the name.
Well, that's a good idea.
I don't
idea.
Even think about it as you would like to do. It's going to happen. I
Thank
feel
you.
Like you're one of those people, the minute you put it out in the universe, it materializes.
I hope so. I hope so. I would be really happy to get to do that. But I don't dilly and I don't dally. You know what I mean? So I like to try things. And if they click, great. If not, let's try something else.
You've had a number of hit books. You just had a wonderful children's book out last year.
You got
with
to meet
your
my husband.
Yes,
you did. You got to meet him. He's an educator.
Dr. Wellington Garcia, so handsome. I said, oh, a doctor. Could it be any better? Wish girl's dream.
You know, I love that you got to meet him too, because he is so smart and he's really brilliant. And he's also very silly. And he's a great uncle, too. We love our nephews who are our ring bearers at our wedding. So Tio and Tio is a children book that we wrote together. And we're so proud of it. And then my first book was Man Up and Tales of My Delusional Self-Confidence. And that was really about growing up in my little farm town, my connection with my parents and how the Leno stuff happened. My obsession with pop culture.
Not to interrupt you, but I thought that book should be made into a movie. I always felt that.
Really?
Yeah. Your story is incredible. Ross, I mean, it is the ultimate can-do story.
Well, thank you. You know, thank you. It's weird. Well, you know, it's not funny. I never even occurred to me, but maybe there's something there.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely think so. And getting back to your husband, we finally got to meet after being a fan for a quarter of a century. I finally got to meet you at the opening of Martha Stewart's restaurant in Foxwoods. And I grabbed you. I must have startled you a little bit because I was like, I love you, Ross.
I was honestly honored. You know, I get like a little nervous, like in those scenarios, you know, Martha Stewart's, there's a lot of celebrities around. So I'm like, you remember that song from Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other, you know. I love celebrities, but I don't feel like one of them. I still feel like the super fan. So in that kind of like fancy environment, I'm like just trying to fit in. And then when I saw you, I loved you forever. And it felt like we are the same energy, you know? So you cannot scare me. I am all in with you. You can't get rid of me now.
Oh, that's the best news of the day, let me tell you. And I was so impressed by your husband. And I love the dynamic between the two of you, the way you got together.
It was totally unexpected. I used to go to Puerto Vallarta a lot with my friends because we were in LA. It's 2 hours and it's super gay. And it's just fun. Even, you know, we go down, you day drink. I do an early bedtime, 9:30. I'm up in the morning. I get up early. And my friend Nikki was down there. I've known Nikki Boyer, who, by the way, just won a Peabody. She executive produced the series Dying for Sex. It was about her.
I love that show. Yes. Oh,
so this Jenny Slate played Nikki and it was her story. They did a podcast. They made it. I'm so proud of my friend Nikki Boyer. So we broke up one morning and got breakfast burritos super early. And we were like, should we eat them at the restaurant or go to the rooftop pool? No one will be up there. So let's go up to the pool. We'll have the whole place to ourselves. We did, except there was one person. This is at 9 a.m. One person in the corner reading a book, and it was Wellington. And I was like, you know, checking him out a little bit because
he's great looking. Hello. Yeah, hello, Ross.
And he was hello, Ross. So he was getting up to leave. And I was like, no way is he leaving. So I jumped up. And I was like, hi, I'm Ross Matthews. And he said, hello, I'm Dr. Wellington Garcia. I was like, oh, hello. And we started talking. And then Nikki came up and introduced herself. And we just were all talking. And then Nikki turned to me and she said, you just met your husband. And then 2 years later, in Puerto Vallarta, Nikki Boyer officiated our wedding. We went back to the scene and it just was all meant to be.
That is unbelievable. But there's such admiration, respect, and obviously very deep love.
Well, we, yes, yes, and yes. And my favorite thing about being married to him, I see he really thinks I'm the, you know, SH.
That's me out.
Yeah, he thinks I'm it. And I think he is it. And I think for us, that's sort of so far. That's what makes it so fun. Just that I just think he is fantastic.
That's so beautiful. I mean, and it's rare today. There's a lot of couples. My father used to say they hold hands, keeping from hitting each other.
I love that Wellington is so much smarter than me. And what I mean by that, not just like the books he's read, but his perspective on life. And he's smart in a way that I'm not. And I think that I am smart in a way that is a different perspective that he doesn't have. And we just teach each other every day. I learn. I run everything by him. You know, he told me not to do this show. No, I'm kidding. He loves you. But when I told him I was doing this, he was like, oh my God, she was so fun at that party. Because we do run everything by each other because I feel like he sees what I don't.
Well, obviously, this is called Rappaport to the Rescue because it's all about the animals in our lives who've changed our lives. And can we just talk about Audrey?
Would you like me to grab her? She's right over there in her
bed.
Oh
my God, Chihuahua, the cutest thing. Yes, go get her.
She went downstairs. Can I grab her? Can I grab her? Can we do a quick...
Wait a minute. Did she talk to Wellington and he told her not to do the show? I'm a little upset now.
No. She's a big fan. She needs an appearance fee. We have to negotiate before she'll come on.
and hair and fur makeup, right? That girl is so adorable. And I want to know, did you name her after Audrey Hepburn? Big brown eyes, very slender.
I am that gay that I did because she has such bold eyebrows, you know. There's no other name for her. I have a little pearl necklace that I put on her too. She is, listen, here's the deal. She is 6.5 pounds. She is little teeny tiny. She's from the mean streets of Palm Springs. I was coming home from brunch one day. I wasn't looking for another dog and they were doing an adoption fair. I saw her and I just said, can I hold her? And I picked her up and she put her head in my chest. And I said, okay, I'm done. Thank you. You know, thank you. We did everything. I've only ever rescued dogs. And she is, she's, you know, you've heard that phrase, the soul dog. you know, and she is my soul dog. I get her. She gets me. I'm so grateful. I understand how this works. I know we only have them for a certain amount of time. I think dogs, because of their short lifespan, I think they love in concentrate, like concentrated orange juice. You know how that's like stronger than regular orange juice? I think their love is stronger. And so I've had her 12 years and every day I'm so grateful because I know, but it's not lost on me every day that I get to have her. I bring her to the Drew Barrymore show every day.
Well, and what's a better show to be on than with Drew and her dogs as well? And I love that.
Yeah, it is. It's very real life that way. One guy stopped me on the street the other day and he goes, I was watching your show and a dog just walked in the frame. I'm like, yeah, that's the show. You know, her dog Douglas comes. Audrey sits on the desk a lot. It's great. It's our real life, you know. I work with the Palm Springs Animal Shelter all the time. I raise funds for them all the time. Every time I'm on a game show or, you know, I get a celebrity name that tune or something, I'm playing for Palm Springs Animal Shelter.
Wonderful. Well, you're such an important, powerful voice for animal rescue.
It's super important to me. Just, I don't even know how I got into it. You know, it's not something I knew about as a kid. And then when I graduated college, I knew I wanted a dog. And I kind of just got educated. I met people in LA and I had never thought about it before. But hearing how many millions of these dogs, cats, all these amazing animals need homes and sadly, you know, don't get homes a lot of times. I thought, well, I would personally, this is a choice I'm always going to make to support adoption.
And your voice means everything by speaking that truth. Ross, this has been so incredible. I cannot tell you how excited and happy I am to have you on the show. You just have to promise me that you and Wellington will come and stay with me at the ranch and bring Audrey. Promise me that.
I can make a promise to you. If you promise me that you will stay as fabulous and kind and curious as you are. Honestly, I just can't tell you how much it means to me what you said, but I also want you to know that this is a mirror looking back at you. Everything you've said to me, I feel the same way about you, truly, and I have since before I ever got the chance to meet you. So thank you for being even more than I ever dreamt. You have my number. Text me. Let's go out.
Oh, be careful what you wish for, what you say.
I'm all in.
Oh, Ross Matthews, thank you so much and much more on Rappaport to the Rescue. When we come back, we will catch up with our cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Schumer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails and who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and we are coming to you again from the wonderful Perfect Day Cat Cafe, where our cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs, is on hand. And Deborah, you have taught me so much about the world of cats and kittens and how they think and how they interact. Because today, we're going to discuss how cats form relationships with us.
Jill, thank you again. And I am happy to be here once again in beautiful Covington, Kentucky at the Perfect Day Cafe, or should I say Perfect Day Cafe. It's a beautiful day here. And I don't know if you can see behind me, Jill, but we've got maybe 15 or so cats playing around, getting ready for nap time, I think. The cafe hasn't quite opened yet, but we've talked about before, there are so many of these so successfully operating in the United States and a very important partner to the shelter world on adopting cats. They literally, Jill, adopt thousands of cats here. But I think it's important to talk about in this environment. I mean, this is so cool because it's kind of a living laboratory of the question for the day. How do cats choose their people? Now, Jill, you're a dog person. We know that. We respect that. Dogs and cats, they're super different, right? We all know that too.
Right.
But this environment is really a perfect way, if you want, to actually allow your perfect cat to find you. Now, How does that happen? Unlike dogs, cats actually react best to calm behavior, quiet voices, and not jerky movements. So the best bet at a place like this, as you can see, Jill, there are plenty of places to sit. Right. So you come in here with your cup of tea and you sit down and maybe you talk at a normal voice. Maybe you're here with someone, but eventually somebody's going to come up to you probably. Now, what do you do first when a cat comes up to you? You do not pet that cat. You hold your hand out. Kind of like a dog. I think this is dog behavior. You absolutely want them to smell you first. Right. And they will signal to you. You have to learn cat signals. And they're not hard to interpret once you look at their faces and their ears and the tail. But you hold your hand out, let them sniff your hand, and see what the next movement of the cat is. Do not just assume that because they're standing there, it means they want to be pet. If they back away, okay, maybe that's not your cat, or at least for today.
Right.
But interestingly, here at this cafe, Jill, if you talk to the staff, they have said that they'll have a cat that sits in the corner for days and doesn't engage with anybody. And then all of a sudden, there's a particular human sitting on a particular couch. All of a sudden, that cat who was in the corner goes over and finds that human. So there is something. Is it pheromones? I don't know. But there's something that attracts a cat to a person for sure.
So when you're thinking about adopting, do you wait for them to pick you first? Is that how it works?
Well, it's not a myth, but it's part of cat culture that a cat will choose you. So if you have a home, like I have had living in a house, you know, in a suburb with an outdoor area.
Right.
I never went to find a cat, Jill. They always found my home. I believe they smelled that there were other cats there and that somebody was feeding the cats that were there. So yeah, it's definitely common that a cat finds you, but this is a perfect environment to identify the cat and the human that are best suited to each other. So it's really, really interesting. And I bet a lot of data can be collected at this beautiful cafe.
Oh, it's incredible. And another thing I heard about, what is this about the slow blink? That fascinated me.
I love the slow blink, Jill. It's one of my favorite things. And my husband and I, we just lost one of our boy kitties.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Deb.
And I'm still just so bereft. And interestingly, he was the one in my life and all these years who really did that all the time to me. When a cat is calmly sitting or standing by their person, the caretaker call them, and they do the slow blink, that is absolutely a sign of trust. It's probably the best compliment your kitty companion can give you.
That is just incredible. What wonderful lessons. And Deborah, it's so great to see you there again. And ultimately, our message, our goal is to get people into these wonderful places, especially into the shelters, to adopt these kittens and cats as soon as they can.
Absolutely. Kitten season is upon us. Adopt a cat today.
Oh, Deborah, as always, great information.
You're welcome, Joe. Looking forward to next time.
Yes, and I'm so sorry about the loss of your beautiful cat.
Me too.
Oh, love you, Deborah. Thank you again.
Me
and
too,
thank
Jill.
You all for listening to this special edition of Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.